This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Looking for Warren Zevon's Los Angeles by Lucero from their album All a Man Can Do, song about Memphians knocking around L.A. in honor of some other Memphians knocking around L.A., your Memphis Grizzlies.
How did you like knocking around L.A. when the Grizzlies were playing the Lakers in the playoffs?
I had a good time. I found a good game day omelet spot. I found some good street Thai. Me and Drew spent some time at that nice food court down by the hotel. That was pretty cool. Got to have lunch with my friend Dan, who lives in, I think he lives in Silver Lake. Got to see my friend Kevin Arnovitz, who lives around there. Good time.
Yeah. And it's a nice scene there. I mean, they put on a good show. Anyway. All right. So what's the
health also at an outdoor. Tonight? I was also at a different outdoor food court where a man took all his clothes off and walked down the middle of the food court. That was fun.
Well, that's good. Health tonight. What's the health report? Let's review that.
We got some upgrades. We got an addition too. Brandon Clark was suddenly questionable with a toe thing. But Marcus Smart, as expected, moved up from doubtful to questionable, which I think makes it likely he will play, not certain. And then the biggest news on the health report is that the long-awaited Vince Williams Jr. Upgrade from out to doubtful has happened. He is skidding down that on-ramp, and he's about to get on the road.
Doubtful does not mean he'll likely play, right? So Marcus Smart will likely
doubtful
play.
Doubtful means he probably won't, but like, there's a chance. It would not be unprecedented for the guy for someone to make a leap from doubtful to end the game. So wait and see.
It's interesting. You asked the question in the piece that we talked about yesterday and that I tweeted out yesterday. People can still go read it at the Daily Memphian. You asked the question sort of in passing whether the addition of the return of Marcus Smart will help or hurt. One would normally think a guy who's that kept would
right.
Explore that. Will it help or hurt?
Well, it will help the defense, and it may be that they need to lean even more into defense against these better teams with Ja and Dez out. But they've been playing so well offensively, and the system has been humming, and the ball's been popping around, and they've been playing fast. And, like, I don't know. Marcus Smart was shooting terribly before he got injured. Like, I think it's like 20-something percent from the floor and, like, in the teens from three, something like that. He was shooting terribly and not in great shape. You know, I don't know whether if we're going to get peak shape Marcus Smart again at this stage of his career, but I think he was notably not in great shape to start the season. And hasn't had really the reps in this style, you know, with the layoff. And so I don't know if he's going to step in and it's just going to play, it's going to flow as seamlessly as it has when, like, you know, Luke Kennard has stepped into the game and Jake LaRavia stepped into the game and these guys who have been playing. So if he plays, I'll be interested to see how well he plays. More importantly, how well the team plays with him on the floor. Now, I'm interested to see, like, the role he has. I don't think even if he plays, he's stepping right back to the starting lineup. I'd be surprised.
Right. For the Lakers, sadly, well, not sadly, whatever. It appears Anthony Davis will be back, right? Jared Vanderbilt's still out. Christian Wood out. But
he's got a sore foot. He's got a sore foot. So we would welcome him not playing. Like, it would not be some great inhumane response to welcome him, like, you know, taking a game off.
Yes, we got that last week. It seems almost too much to ask for it a second time. And you posit on Twitter or X that here we go. We now get the test of the Grizzlies system, which looked so good against two inferior teams against some real competition. Is that what tonight is partly about?
Yeah, I also posited on Blue Sky and Threads. I'm testing out all three. We'll see what sticks if you're out there on those others. I think these next four games are going to be, and you know, the returns could be bad, but I think they're going to be instructive because this is a really strong stretch of opponents. Lakers probably with Davis. The Warriors are just playing awesome right now, as we saw again last night. And Denver, after a slow start, Nikola Jokic has just put the whole thing on his shoulders. And it's like, I can do anything, get out of the way. And that's what's happening. And so, you know, this system has been humming, and just their team style of play, not just system, because it's both ends of the floor. The team style of play has really been popping for the Grizzlies the last five or six games, minus that 1-2-point loss at Brooklyn. And it's really going to get tested against these four teams. I don't think it will be as successful, but there's a difference between being less successful and then, like, the thing sort of breaking down and being exposed a little bit. So I want to see, like, what they do continue to work, even if, like, the results are not a 30-point win. I mean, it'll be a 6-point loss, right? But it can still look like, you know, things are – I want to feel comfortable that what they're doing is going to continue to work and work even more when, like, the good players come back, right?
By the way, you said you posited on Threads and Blue Sky as well. So you participate – what's your experience with either Blue Sky or Threads, sort of Twitter alternates?
There's a lot of I have been double posting, mostly posting, like, you know, links and stuff, not like conversational to Threads for a while. I hadn't touched my Blue Sky account in months, even though I'd started one. And there's been a drift towards that by a lot of people. There was a thing that came out the other day about, and I haven't seen it myself, but some new thing on X where, like, it's basically in the new terms and conditions is anything you post is going to feed into, like, the AI system. And, like, I'm not super crazy about that. And so, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I'm interested in, like, just, like, talking to people about basketball. And Blue Sky seems like it's becoming a pretty good spot for that.
Have you gotten feedback or responses? Can you tell? Is there, you know, back and forth over on Blue Sky or on Threads in response to your posts?
Yeah, more so on Blue Sky, but it's a smaller, at this point, smaller community. But, like, there are a lot of people gone there just to talk about stuff they're interested in talking about, which was sort of what Twitter was about initially. And so we'll see where it goes. Again, I'm sort of like, you know, I get all three in the air. I don't plan to fly all three planes permanently, so we'll just see where it goes.
All right. On Blue Sky Threads and on Twitter, you do mention that the Lakers are dead last in the league in fast break defense, and that is something the Grizzlies should exploit. Yes?
Yeah, when you a lot of times before the game, I'll just look and see like where the strengths and weaknesses of teams sort of match up or diverge or whatever, where sort of there's a point of departure in terms of style. And that's one of the big ones, obviously. If the Lakers are last in fast break points allowed, and Grizzlies, I think, are second in fast break points. Another one I didn't mention is that the Lakers, I think, are first in free throw rate, and the Grizzlies still foul a lot. And so that can go the other way. But I just think generally, like all the hustle stuff, the offensive rebounds, the deflections, the steals, the transition play, all of that stuff around the edges, the Grizzlies need to win to beat a LeBron James, Anthony Davis team in Los Angeles without Ja Morant and Desmond Bane.
Oh, God. It's funny. Toronto guard over the weekend, this is a quote from an ESPN story. They led at the half. That went away, and the Lakers won convincingly. But the quote was, obviously, they don't really want to get back. So if we get a rebound, we're out and running. That's the game plan.
Right. And the Grizzlies don't have Ja, so you lose your speed. But their style is still super aggressive. It's been super aggressive without Ja. And so I think they need to keep playing that way.
So, by the way, if they bring Vince back, if it's not tonight, it will be shortly, obviously. If they bring Vince back and if they bring Marcus Smart back, how do you see it playing out for some of the players now who have been getting heavy minutes? Who gets lighter minutes in the wake of these two returns?
It's interesting. I think in the short term tonight, I'm sort of interested to see how they use Marcus Smart defensively, because they've done this starting lineup change since the last time they played the Lakers. And the last time they played the Lakers, there was no Anthony Davis anyway. And so Jaren basically guarded LeBron and played off of it a bit, and LeBron hit a bunch of threes and what have you. But, like, you know, what are you doing with LeBron and AD both out there? I wouldn't be surprised to see some Marcus Smart on LeBron. In terms of minutes total, I mean, John Conchar is obviously at this point the low man on the totem pole. And so, you know, that's an easy one there. You could also, like, you know, Jay Huff, as good as he's been, maybe the next guy, and you could always play Santi Moore in the front court and open up minutes on the wing. You know, I don't know if Jalen Wells plays quite as much, but as well as he's playing, maybe he does. I don't know. I think they'll go back to an 11-man rotation, which is what they want to do anyway, and they just haven't had the players. So you go back up to that, and, like, a lot of the minutes sort of shrink anyway. Like, maybe Santi Aldama's not playing 30 minutes a game. Maybe he's playing 26, and you nibble into it. This will sort itself out over time. My thing is still with Vince Williams. Like, is he the player he was last season? And there's two reasons to be skeptical. One is that was in the context of basketball that didn't matter as much. And two, he is now coming off an injury. So those are two reasons that he could not be the player he was last year. But if he is the player he was last year, I think he's a 30-minute a game guy. I think he's going to be the fourth best player on this team. I still believe that if he is the player he was last season.
But you're right. Like, coming off of an injury, he may become that player again, but it may not be right away. It's sort of a shame. As well as Jake LaRavia and Jalen Wells have been playing, you know, it's sort of it'll be interesting to see what happens with their minutes. By the way, on the subject of Jaren, I know you didn't do a deep dive on it. He has, in the past, there's been some notable occasions where he struggled against Anthony Davis. Well, Anthony Davis is one of the best players in the world. Lots of players will. We've seen tremendous Jaren this year. Is this a big matchup for him? And does he always struggle with Anthony Davis? Or is this a trend? And what do you make of that matchup tonight?
I'd have to go back over the game logs. I remember one game in particular where he, like, had a big game against Anthony Davis. And, like, it was one of my plays of the year, whatever year it was. He drove in into his chest and dunked on him and blocked him on the other end and had a big game. That is more exception than norm. We remember the playoff series. The reality is, when Davis is in peak form, Davis is just a monster. But he's not always in peak form. I think it'd be nice to see Jaren continue to shoot the ball the way he shot the ball so far this season. And I would not predict that at the end of the year he's still going to be shooting 41% from three, but I do think he's capable of doing that. And so, like, this would be a good game to do that against. So I'll be interested in the Jaren stuff. I'm also interested in Zach Edey. You know, is he still coming off the bench in this game? He's played without Ja. Now he's facing Anthony Davis for the first time. It's sort of an interesting game for Edey. You would like to see him just play loose and play aggressive and be a physical presence there.
Warriors win again last night, beating Dallas in the Clay return game. Steph with 37. The Warriors are now 9-2. I didn't necessarily expect this. What has gone right for the Warriors, and what's your level of belief that it will continue at this reasonable pace?
If Ja hadn't gotten hurt, I was going to write a different column this week that was more of a big picture of what to think about the team and the style of play and all that. And one of my takes was going to be about, you know, are the Warriors sort of an emblem of what the Grizzlies could be if they get healthy? And it is that this question of depth being mattering in the regular season, they are the embodiment of that right now. They play 11 deep, sometimes 12. They generally, this last night was a little bit different because Curry played 35. I'm looking at it now. Wiggins played 34. But generally, they have not played heavy minutes. They've been the only team that's played less, their stars less than the Grizzlies. Of course, they may only have one star. But they've had Curry with a super deep team that plays good team defense and just plays really fast and aggressive and around him, and they just looked awesome. And if the Grizzlies are at full strength with Ja Morant as the centerpiece, could they look as awesome? Frankly, they haven't. I mean, the point differential is not that much different right now, even though the Grizzlies are 7-4. So I think the Warriors are totally legit as a regular season team. I don't know if a team with, you know, take your pick, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, or whatever is the second best player can really do anything in the playoffs. But I totally believe in the Warriors. I mean, 9-2 is persuasive. As long as they have Steph Curry and that kind of depth around him and they're coached that well and playing together that well, I think they're 100% legitimate. And to me, it is an example of what the Grizzlies could be as well if they get more healthy.
Is there anyone – it's funny, just looking at the West, you got Phoenix at 9-2, Oklahoma City. Now, they're both – Phoenix and Oklahoma City both have injuries. You never know. Golden State could at some point. Denver has an injury now. But right. You got Denver at 7-3, Houston at 7-4, and then the Grizzlies at 7-4 as well. So the Grizzlies are right now barely missing the play-in. But behind them, looming behind them, you've still got Minnesota at 6-5 and Dallas at 5-6.
Well, the Grizzlies are 6 right now, so they're above the line.
Sorry, 6. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, barely missing the play-in. Yeah.
But they're missing, yes. So, I don't know, like, it's a hell of a race. Like, because I don't know that any of those teams in the top 6 are fraudulent. Obviously, Houston's kind of overperforming, but I think you were more optimistic about them on the upside at the beginning of the season. And then behind them, you've got two teams.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, none of those teams are fraudulent. And Dallas at 11 is probably not going to be 11. I mean, they're 5-6 with a plus 3.5 point differential. They are better than that. The Clippers are the team you look at and you say like they're playing above their heads. But maybe that's just what they're going to do because they have Ty Lue. And, maybe they'll just keep doing that. You know, Minnesota has underperformed at 6-5. But no, I think
you're up there in your hometown.
I'm up here, but like I can't get Wolves games on League Pass because I'm up here, and so I don't want to pay the FanDuel Minnesota $20 a month for Wolves games. That's my problem. They're probably the team I've seen the least. It's a weird thing. I've thought about it. Do I want to pay $20 a month for Wolves games? I don't know if I do because I don't know. I've already tried to watch every Grizzlies game. You know, and Minnesota's been pretty healthy. You know, I think. You know, Conley has not been great, and maybe you're finally turning the corner. Like, you know, don't strike me dead, but maybe you're turning the corner there. And they're obviously trying to fit in new players. You know, the West, before the season, I said the most interesting place, the most fraught place in the league is 11th place in the West because a good team is going to be 11th. And even with New Orleans falling apart early, maybe the Clippers sort of replaced New Orleans, and it's still that way, and that the 11th place is a rough spot in the West. So I think there's a lot of fluidity. And now that Holmgren's out, I would even go up to 1. There's fluidity from like 1 down to 10 or 11 in the West.
Right.
And like, you know, anybody could move up and down. However, I think the Grizzlies could move up or down from 6 easily, move either direction this season. I will say the Suns, 9-2 is also persuasive, but they're 9-2 with a plus 2.7 point differential. The Thunder Warriors are 9-2 with like plus 11, plus 12. The Suns have just won a lot of close games, and that speaks well of them and their coaching, but they've won a lot of close games, and now Durant's going to be out, and we'll see. I feel like Phoenix is going to slide a little bit.
Over on the East, how about those Cavs?
The Cavs are legit. The Cavs, I would say at this point, you never know, it's a long season to go, but I would feel comfortable saying they're going to be a top two team in the East. I think Cleveland and Boston are going to be the top two teams in the East. Maybe the Knicks get it together, you know. I think the Knicks, I would put third. But I think 12-0 is a big start, and that team has four all-star level players. You know, I was still being a year late on this because my NBA prediction piece, not this season, but last season, I had Cleveland as second in the East, and I said, you know, that's the team that could crash the very top tier in the regular season. And then they didn't do it. I was a little more gun-shy on them, but maybe they finally put it together with health and the coaching change. But I think Cleveland's totally legit.
And how about the resurgent Detroit Pistons, Chris?
That was one of my best predictions this year. I said it was sort of a silly prediction, but I said the Pistons were going to double their win total. Because they won 14 games last year.
They're getting there. They've won five already. Yeah. Including last night's epic Eric Spoelstra meltdown. Yeah.
No, I had the Pistons and the Hornets competing for the last play-in spot, and the Pistons are a little bit above that right now, but it's all sort of jumbled together. I kind of like that Pistons team. I like J.B. Bickerstaff as a coach. I think they've had a decent amount of young talent, Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, and they just went out this year, the summer, and like got veteran shooters to put around them to try to be more competitive, and so far it's working.
All right, Chris, appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You could read his stuff over there. All right, we got Sam Hardiman. It's a Daily Memphian extravaganza today. We got Sam Hardiman next to talk about the city, what's happening in the city.
Jeff, did you see, you mentioned that Spoelstra meltdown. Did you see that Jalen Rose, who was on the Fab Five, obviously Chris Webber was the one that called the timeout, but did you see Jalen Rose was in attendance?
Yeah, was he just there as a fan?
Yeah, I guess.
And happened to be in attendance? For those people who didn't see it, the Detroit's down by two.
Yes.
To the Heat. And they give up an alley-oop slam dunk on an out-of-bounds play after a timeout. And so Spoelstra's just like totally in that moment on that play. Like
the emotional, it was the emotional around, coach, right? So timeout.
That ties it up. Then Spoelstra calls a timeout. Well, he had no timeouts left. And so that's a technical. And so now all of a sudden Detroit goes to the line, hits the free throw for the lead. Then Spoelstra tries to bring in Kevin Love to inbound the pass because there's 1 point whatever seconds left, forgetting that it is not his ball. It is Detroit's ball after the technical. The whole thing was a complete – I could not have coached worse in that moment than the great Eric Spoelstra did. And it does not mean that Eric Spoelstra is not great. It's just even the greats have their bad moments. And as you point out, Jalen Rose was in attendance – last night. The most famous timeout called when there was no timeout is Chris Webber in the championship game, obviously. And so he saw, there's a great shot of Jalen Rose agape, wondering what the hell he just witnessed. I found that to be highly entertaining.
I did too. I mean, I think also, Jeff, it goes to show that's Emirates NBA Cup pressure. It even gets to the Hall of Famers.
It's funny. Like, I saw there was a piece in The Athletic about, I mean, there's obviously a great night at Golden State. Klay returns. Steph goes off.
Yeah.
They win. And, but someone said, man, these NBA Cup games are fantastic. That's just, has nothing to do with it. Like, literally nothing to, like, and that Spoelstra game had nothing to do with the NBA Cup. They happened to designate as an NBA Cup game.
Yeah, but there's a new floor.
There was a different floor. It was entertaining. It was entertaining. All right. We got Sam Hardiman coming up next. If you are getting something framed, I got a solution for you. Sometimes maybe you have sitting over in the corner of your wherever, your office and at home or whatnot, saying, I got to get that framed, or your dad. So, go to the Frame Corner. Great folks at the Frame Corner right there, 5035 Park Avenue. They will sell you a frame. And you can frame something yourself. They've got beautiful frames in there. But what they really specialize in is custom framing. Custom framing is an art. It's a skill. takes an eye. It takes experience. You got to know how to best display something. And what you're doing there is you are making a memory. You are framing a memory that someone will have to put on their wall, whether it's memorabilia or a collection of photos or a piece of art or whatever it is, to put on their wall and then to hand down to their kids, honestly. Like, it's a, when something is framed, it's like your own little private museum right there in your house. Beautifully framed, beautifully done. It's what they do at Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue, or framecornermemphis.com. Sam Hardiman, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder, True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder, True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Sam Hardiman. Sam Hardiman, of course, covers the city for the Daily Memphian on Twitter, at Sam Hardiman, joins me now. This past weekend, happened to be in Chicago to watch his beloved Patriots embarrass, humiliate the Chicago Bears. Sam, welcome to the show. What was that like?
That was a terrible football game to watch. Like, it was not good football. Like it, you know, you think, like, you pay good money as an NFL fan to sit in the stadium and watch. And like, I think they were 0-for-9 in the first half until, like, the Patriots scored on the last drive of the first half. Like, the, both teams combined were 0-for-9 on third down. Like, it was just, like, the execution was not amazing. You know, like, it was worse for Chicago, but, like, the Patriots, like, they weren't exactly, like, world-beating. Like, Drake May had no time whatsoever. And so it was really cool to be there, but it was, like, I felt like I had watched one of those, like, really bad Thursday night games we used to get. That's kind of what I felt like I was watching.
Did you feel obviously this is a premier matchup, despite what you just said, of two franchise, young, promising franchise quarterbacks. How would you feel? How did you feel as a Patriots fan about Drake May? And how would you feel as a Bears fan, if you were a Bears fan, about Caleb Williams?
See, I was thinking about this because, like, of the top three quarterbacks, right? Like, I was thinking to myself while I was watching this game, and I said to, like, my cousin who was with me, who's also a Patriots fan, like, it feels like we as the Patriots got the second best quarterback of those three. Like, Jaden Daniels appears, like, early returns are saying he is the best of those three. Drake May might be number two. And then you're like, ooh, is Caleb Williams kind of like the Markelle Fultz of this draft a little bit? Like, sort of, like, shouldn't have been taken at number one, but was, like, presumptive. I don't know. I'm not saying he's, like, Markelle Fultz, like, forgets how to shoot. Like, I'm not, like, right, saying the football equivalent is going to happen here, but it's, like, maybe the Bears kind of galaxy brain themselves into Caleb Williams and should have looked at the other two.
I don't think it's galaxy braining because he was the consensus, right? And so I think you take some comfort in that. Even if you got it wrong, would every club have taken Caleb Williams? I get the sense they probably would have, but maybe not. And obviously now they fired their OC, so we will see what happens there. All right, on to other matters. Since the show began, the Redbirds have released a statement, and I'm going to read it, Sam. I'm sorry to take your time here, but people haven't heard it yet, so I did want to read it for the listeners. This is obviously 901 FC is leaving town and owned by the same group that owns the Redbirds, and so this is what they have to say. We are saddened by the news that Memphis 901 FC will be leaving our beloved community. We have cherished the opportunity to host the team and 901 FC fans at AutoZone Park these past several years as the team sought to find a permanent home. While we are disheartened by the soccer club's departure, the transfer has no impact on the Memphis Redbirds' current tenure. We remain committed to downtown Memphis and AutoZone Park. Since AutoZone Park was not allocated any of the state funding made available last year, the city has deployed approximately $5 million in funds to help start to bring the city-owned facility into compliance with Major League Baseball standards before next year's PDL deadline. However, we have communicated to the city that there's still a long list of vital needs that must be addressed in order for AutoZone Park to maintain a AAA club, including new seating, painting, bathroom renovations, and concrete repairs, among others. These items must be addressed seriously and swiftly to safeguard the long-term future of AutoZone Park as the proud home of the Redbirds and a premier destination for events in the city. We look forward to continuing this critical work with the city of Memphis to ensure our ability to proudly open our doors to fans for many years to come, and hope that losing soccer serves as a sobering reminder that having the highest level of professional minor league baseball in downtown Memphis is a privilege. That's the statement. What do you make of it, Sam?
Well, I thought that last sentence was interesting. It's a privilege, and essentially what the statement is saying to the city of Memphis, and saying publicly, right, there's probably, it's been communicated already to the city of Memphis, but saying publicly is, it's time Memphis to pay for the privilege of having the Redbirds at AutoZone Park. Like, that's what I take from it. And that, you know, we see that one pot of money has not been made available to us, and so we would like more money, and we reported at the Daily Memphis, and I reported several weeks ago, that some money is on the way. There's going to be new lighting and new batting cages paid for by Memphis taxpayers with interest, because this is bonded and indebtedness that's being incurred to pay for those things. And so I would imagine that over the next couple months, we will hear more about other ways the city may or may not, you know, help AutoZone Park come into compliance. But like, as you mentioned at the top of the show, because I was listening, this is very much about what are taxpayers going to give private enterprises, you know, both the Redbirds, 901FC, the Grizzlies, which is the giant kit and caboodle, we're talking, you know, well north of $500 million, right, to play sports in downtown Memphis, you know? And that's what we're really talking about here. And it's, you know, a subsidy that goes on across the country. And that's, yeah, and that's this, what I read into that.
It's an interesting statement because it really is, you know, it's a threat, right? It's or whatever. It's, yeah, a statement of fact. Either way, it's, yo, they just left. If you don't fix this, Redbirds will be next. That's basically what it seems to be. It's a sobering reminder, is another way of saying clock's ticking, boys, or we'll be leaving next. And and I guess it's just about public priorities here. The city, which is not a rich city, did not prioritize, you know, finding $80 million to build a soccer stadium. Whether it can prioritize finding $20 million to make sure that AutoZone Park isn't empty at 3rd and Union, that would seem to be maybe both a smaller price tag and a higher priority. I'm not asking you to weigh in on you know,
yeah,
how
I mean,
priorities
I,
should be.
The only thing I'll say is $20 million is a lot easier to find than $80 million, you know, for a soccer stadium, you know, a brand new soccer stadium in a city that, you know, you have parks and roads that get paved on very long cycles, right? And they get fixed up and paved on very long cycles. Like, more people use some public parks than go to 901 FC games, right? And that's not, like, to state anything about priorities, but just, like, to put in context your city services, because so much of, like, the stadium conversation is always about, like, sports, and, like, you have to think about, like, there's a whole other city to take care of, right? And that's what, like, lawmakers are making decisions about, right? And so, yeah, it's certainly interesting. It's certainly, like, it reads like, yeah, pay up. It's time to pay for the privilege. And, you know, that's certainly the prerogative of, you know, Memphis Redbirds ownership, Diamond Baseball Group.
Absolutely. And then it's the prerogative of the city to react however it will react, aware of whatever the repercussions, however it might be, obviously will be something to watch going forward. All right, in other city matters, a couple things I wanted to ask you about. You did have a piece about, we talked a little bit about the runoff elections. So Memphians have approved in the most recent election a runoff system for the mayoral election. And then you wrote a piece about what that could mean and the impact that it could have. What, briefly, go explain to me what. It could not just, obviously, will shape the form the election takes. We're not going to have a runoff if it's close, but it could shape the field. It could shape the contour of that election. What might the impact be?
Right. Yeah. Very simply, like I talked to political consultant Cole Perry, who worked on Mayor Strickland's reelection campaign in 2019 and Floyd Bonner's unsuccessful but second place finish in the race last year. You know, and Cole and I were talking, and he said, and you can read this on the Daily Memphian, that essentially it becomes a more expensive race. It becomes a more citywide race. Like, you know, you can look at precincts, and I did. I'm a nerd. And I went, you can go precinct level data, and they're like distinct regions of the city. You can see that voted for certain people this past time, where there were four real main candidates in Van Zurner, Memphis Mayor Paul Young, Floyd Bonner, and former Mayor William Harrington, right? Like, those are, the city voted very regionally. Like, there are pockets of strength across the board for all four. And essentially what would change in the city is you would have to run really every single neighborhood. Not that candidates don't, but you'd have to really be focused on not getting blown out in certain parts of the city, right? And that would make it a more expensive race, which means you have to raise more money, which means you really need more probably established candidates would have a chance. Like, you know, Cole's had this quote, and you, again, read the piece of the Daily Memphian, but, like, under the previous system, a nobody could have presumably won the mayor's office in Memphis, right? With runoffs, it's going to be very hard for an unknown quantity to win the mayor's office in Memphis.
Paul Young won with 28%, was it, Sam?
28% of the vote, yes. Yeah.
I'm curious, would Paul Young, who's not a nobody, but he was not the biggest name in this race, like, it, if you just have to be the best among a group of however, you know, it's a very different enterprise than having to get 50% of the vote. Paul Young did tell you that he is going to, that none of this changes his reelect plans for another term, right? But, or has said that. But,
you know, he has said that. He told me yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting even to look back at this last election, how it would have been different. Do you imagine? I don't mean the result, but it would have reshaped that field somehow.
Yeah, it would have been, I think, a smaller field, but chances are the current mayor, Mayor Paul Young, was probably well-known enough, you know, and particularly showed enough fundraising strength that, to make himself known, because, you know, you fundraise, right? You can raise your name ID. So, like, it certainly probably would have been in the field, but, yeah, it's very different, right? It's very different, and what happens if, like, the top two have to go to a runoff, you know, Bonner-Young in a runoff? That's a really interesting race, right? And, like, you know, that's all hypothetical, you know, butterfly wings a long time ago stuff, but like, it doesn't matter. But it is certainly interesting. And like, I think going forward, obviously someone now is the mayor, like he's the incumbent, you know, people, his name ID is much higher than it was a year ago in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah. Right. So he is definitely now, you know, the incumbent mayor. And so, you know, he said it's not affecting his plans, and you sort of understand why on the face there, you know?
And then the other thing you pointed out was it will mean there will be another subsequent election once the field is narrowed, and that the turnout in that election tends to be, in runoff elections, tends to be much smaller than the initial.
Dismal. Dismal turnout. I mean, it's very low, like, respectfully, very few people will come out. And I mean, that's always subject to change. Like, you know, it's a democracy. You have freedom to go vote, right? Like, so people can change that, but it typically runoffs in the city of Memphis. You see it in the city council single member district races. Turnout really falls in the runoff quite a bit. It's really incredible.
All right. And then the other story that I want to ask you about is the TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority, has agreed to produce power for XAI or accept them. Explain to me what that story means.
Yeah. So when you're talking about a utility, utilities measure how much electricity they need to supply people in megawatts, okay? So on a typical day, like today, Tennessee Valley Authority is probably going to supply 19,000 megawatts of power. Anytime one single user, okay, is greater than 100 megawatts of power, okay, which is really a ton of power. Like, we're talking thousands of homes here, okay?
Yeah.
Wants to come on the Tennessee Valley Authority system, the board of directors, which is a nominated by the president, approved by the Senate board, it's a federal agency board, has to vote on that happening. And so we've known for months that XAI was going to have to go before that board. Last week, XAI went before the board, and with 100, you know, they're going to be about 150 megawatts of power. The board approved them joining the Tennessee Valley Authority grid. What really happens here is right now they are drawing some power from Memphis Lake Gas and Water. They are already partially on the Tennessee Valley Authority grid because TVA produces the power, MLG&W provides it in Memphis and Shelby County. That's how that works. They're on the grid, but they also use Tesla megapacks, which are battery storage, and gas turbines right now. What would happen is they would hook up fully to the TVA grid and be run by that giant power system, that 20,000 megawatts a day power system. They're going to be fully on that. And so that's what the board voted on last week. It still hasn't like officially happened. Like, the wires have not been officially connected yet. There's still some like infrastructure work that has to be done before that happens, but that's what happened last week.
Were there questions, reservations?
Yes, there were, you know, essentially there was a lot of concern from this board, largely a good amount were appointed by President Joe Biden, that about the impact that the turbines that have been running down in Southwest Memphis to power this thing have had on the environment. We've reported, I reported at the Daily Memphian, that essentially the turbines, they don't have an air emissions permit. They've been, you know, given some sort of clearance, we've been told, to have this without a permit. Okay, that the health department has said that after repeated questions from us. But like, environmental groups who live down there have, you know, and our community focused groups have raised concern about that. And the TVA board had concern about that and, you know, essentially asked the question, what happens to these turbines when they go on the grid? And TVA is like, well, we don't really govern that, but we would assume if we're offering them full power versus the turbines, they would take that. Like, we assume that. So like, there were questions about that. There are questions also about, you know, sort of the equity of what are, if we're going to have in this world, which we're building towards, all of these AI data centers and all these data centers in general that power the cloud that, you know, I rely on to write the articles for the Daily Memphian, right? Like, all that to be powered, how should those rates be different than the general public? Am I as a member of the general public, I can't definitively say this today, but are we ratepayers subsidizing those massive loads, and should the rate structure be different? That was what the board asked the questions, and like, TVA management's going to study that. So it was a very interesting kind of moment about how this Memphis investment that we've talked so much about could shape policy on a regional level, because TVA supplies power for all of Tennessee and parts of six other states. So that was a long soliloquy there, but it was super interesting.
Finally, Sam, I was told that I need to applaud your your effort at Overton Park last week, where on back-to-back holes, 8 and 9, you sank long birdie putts, including a 20-footer on 8. And so, speaking of public amenities, Overton Park is one, but you obviously at this point own Overton Park.
That's not true. It was very much like sort of a blind squirrel, like finding a nut. It was, you know, getting lucky at the, you know, roulette wheel, you know, like very much like two unlikely things happened back to back. It was sort of like hitting a anytime TD parlay, you know, like pretty unlucky. I appreciate it's the person who shared that with
people. Who love golf say those moments are what keep them coming back. Is that true? Like that moment is the kind of the search to reclaim that moment is what keeps you going back?
Oh, I definitely as I fell asleep that night, like thought about those putts. Like definitely, like as I closed my eyes, I was like, man, that was
good.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Sam, appreciate it. On Twitter at Sam Hardiman. Thanks very much. We got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. No better place to bet on the NFL than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We got the Bills Chiefs this weekend. Oh my God. I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to do with that one.
Bills are favored.
Opportunities put together a same game parlay there. And by the way, if your first $5 bet wins over at FanDuel, $150 in bonus bets. That's right. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more this season. FanDuel is, of course, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-drawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Were you going to say something, Jeffrey, about this Titanic matchup?
Between the Bills and Chiefs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know I'm going to be on the Bills.
Oh, my God.
Chiefs have been begging to get beat.
Chiefs have been begging to get beat. We had a lot of news in the NFL we did not get to. Obviously, the Bears make a change at offensive coordinator. Dak has season-ending surgery. It's why it's a good thing we got a whole week of shows, Jeffrey.
And the Colts are going back to Anthony Richardson.
Yes. Yes, and that's true. And the Colts back to Anthony Richardson after Joe Flacco is picked off and turns the ball over four times. Picked off in his first pass and turns over the ball over four times against the Bills. What is coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next. Jason Fitz and Norton Hurd are going to join Jason on Jason and John. We will have Kevin Cerrito with me today on Jeff Wright and Company. CJ Hurt's going to join us. David Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Back tomorrow for now. Work is done.